As I've tried to study and prepare this week and pray and the direction and the thought, what I have for our reading this morning is simply one verse. And it's going to be taken out of the 10th chapter of the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Simply says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. It is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. As I thought about this particular verse this week, and I was trying to study, and I know there we're coming into a season of revival. We're coming into a time when not only our church, but there's a lot of our sister churches are coming into a season of revival, into a time that where many look to or think of for those that are lost that they'll be saved. But there's two aspects to what a revival is has a meaning of, and that means a reviving of the church, of the people of God, that they're through the efforts of, and their closeness and their devotion and their work in the Lord, that they'll be brought closer to God through their efforts. And also that through and by the efforts of the church and the people of God as they work and they strive to reach out to those that are lost and for those that are for those that are lost, they're reaching out to them and they're working towards them to see that they might get saved. So I guess when you think about we always like to think that, you know, that a revival is good if there's lost souls saved, but there's also a revival can be good if the people of God's hearts are made right before God. If they're not right at the present time, and that through and by the efforts of the preaching and the teaching and the Spirit moving upon the church and God dealing with His people, if the people of God can be brought close to God and into a better relationship with God than they were when they went into it, then the church can be revived and it can move on and it can serve and souls can be saved. But there's an aspect of it that you think about. That I believe is important to us. You know, it's about our hearts and our lives being right with God, and it's so important. I don't have a whole lot to say today unless the Lord impresses on me otherwise, but I want us to think about, and I've said this many times before this morning as we've gathered here when you think about, or when I think about, and I've always heard that revival starts with me. And I'm not talking about the preacher. I want you to say that to yourself. Revival starts with me. It starts right here. To say is, you draw a circle and you step in it, and what's inside that circle is where revival starts. It's how you approach God. Is your heart ready, right, prepared before God? Is it ready, right, and prepared before your brothers and sisters? Is it right before them? All the different aspects that you can think of. Is it ready and right before the world? That we go out into the world. Is it ready and right before them? Revival starts with us individually, with me, I do think that the preacher has some portion as to be as a catalyst to bring forth the truth, and that there should be a spirituality, and that they should be a guide to the truth and a leadership to the truth. But I think that the people of God also has a very strong part to play. You know, we very seldom go over anymore. We call out a week and a month, and we very seldom ever go over that week. I know growing up, when I was a child, sometimes revivals would last a week and a half, 2 weeks, 2 weeks and a half, depending on if the Lord was there, if the Lord was in the hearts of the people there, if He was stirring the hearts. I've seen times that it kept going and it didn't seem like it should. And I've seen times that it ended that it seemed like it should have went on. But it's an important aspect that we have to think about and we have to look at when we think about our hearts. If we have placed a set aside a time or a season of revival and effort that we are to gather together and meet together, that when we come in, that our hearts are right before God, that we are prepared, that, you know, if you think about, and we don't extend our services, we got 7 days to get our hearts right, that God would come in and bless our services. God can do that. He can say He went in and saved Nineveh, didn't He? The preacher went in and preached 8 words, and he went in and saved thousands because they repented. It's an important thing that we have our hearts and our minds right before God, and that, you know, there's a couple aspects that I just want to think about and look at. We live in a time today. There's just a revolution of opinions that's out in this world. Everybody's got their own opinion, their own way, their own thoughts, their own direction. It's important that. We're not that way when we gather in here, and when we gather as a body of Christ, that we need to be of one mind and one accord. That it's not a plethora of opinions coming from everybody thinking that do this way and do it this way and do it that way. I believe that if our hearts and our minds are right and set before God, that our focus will be on doing God's will, and then if our focus is on doing God's will, then the Holy Spirit of God will direct their heart, and our hearts will be in one mind and one accord, and we will serve God, and He will get honor and glory, and He will bless the service. I believe it's just as simple as that when you put it in words, but when you put it into action, it becomes a little bit more difficult. It becomes, because that's the part and the point where we have to get ourselves and our flesh out of the way to serve God. Where we have to get our jobs, where we have to get our families and everything, we have to get those things out of the way where we can serve God. And that's a tough thing to do. We've got a lot of wants and needs, and there's a lot of things that's going on, but sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. The word fallow ground here simply means that it's like a ground that has been plowed up and used before in times past, maybe a year or two ago. You know, this was a plot of ground that we used to maybe raise a garden or do something like that with. But we've allowed that ground to grow up. We're not using it anymore. And it's having reference to the things of God in our heart. There's a point in time in our life where we could have been or may have been close to the Lord, serving the Lord, that our hearts was near and dear to Him, His every will, and we wanted to do those things. But now all of a sudden, those things that once was in our life, the things that we used to do, that field, we've let it grow over. We let those things grow up. There, those things that was once near and dear to us in our heart and our life and the way that we serve God, they're not there anymore. This verse says, plow up your fallow ground. Wake up those old things that you used to do when you were serving God and when you
was close to the Lord, wake those things up in your heart. Open your heart up. That soil has to be plowed. We have to be willing as God's people to be a repentative people. Brother Terry talked about some of these things in Sunday school this morning about being able and willing to repent when sins come forth in your life. You know, because if you don't get those things straightened out and cleaned up before God, that time before where you sinned, all of a sudden that becomes fallow ground. It's fallow ground. You got to keep that field cleaned up if you're ever going to grow anything in it. If you don't, there's going to be thorns and thistles and briars, and there's going to be everything in the world growing up in it, and it's going to smother it out. Whatever righteous seed might be in there.
You know, we will also, next week, we'll be doing the Lord's Supper. A very, very important part. Lord left two ordinances, Lord's Supper and baptism. It's a very important thing. The Bible teaches us, even in doing that, that we are to do what? Examine ourselves. Bible says that they're, because of sin and things that they have done in their life and mistaking of the Lord's Supper, that many have slept. That means there's people died because their lives wasn't right before God and they took it for the wrong reason and doing things for the wrong reason. It's a serious matter with God. He only left us two ordinances. This goes right along with having our hearts and our minds right. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes it takes me a little while. I could preach on that and say that next week right before we take the Lord's Supper. And you think about the things in your mind. But I want us to consider and think about them this week. I want everybody here to think about and consider their life. I want them to view their lives. I want you to put your lives under a microscope for this week. I want you to think about the sin that possibly is in your life or has been in your life. Things that needs to get cleaned up. We went through the Ten Commandments and, you know, all these things that started, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Not make any graven images. All these different things that's brought out in the commandments of God. Take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There's so many different things that I'm afraid people have taken for granted. God says they're sin. And it's important that we examine ourselves. I can't examine you and tell anything about you. I don't know what's going on in your lives, and it's not my place to stand here and judge you. But the Bible tells us if we would judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. We have a responsibility, for those of us who have been saved by God's grace, we have a responsibility to judge ourselves. Most of us have a good understanding of what right and wrong is, and we also have a Spirit of the Lord that will direct our hearts. I think prayer is a very, very, very important thing for us as we go into this week and the next week of our effort meeting. Prayer is going to be a very, very important part of that. It's going to play a very important part of how we are brought closer to the Lord or not, because that's the way we commune with God. That's how God speaks to us and communes with us. Or it's one of the ways. It's the one more personal. And I think it's very important for us that we pray and that we think about and reflect on our lives. trying to find verses. It says here in the 8th chapter of Romans, in the 26th verse, it says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." The Spirit maketh intercession for us. There's a lot of times that we stand in need of things that we don't even know of. We need help in areas that we don't even consider, we think about. But when our prayer life is in the place that it ought to be, when we're seeking first and foremost to do the will of God and to do the things that we're supposed to do, then that Holy Spirit of God, that Comforter, the one that directs our heart, the one that was left here to direct us, He will do that. He will direct us. And we use so many times about in the 14th chapter of the book of John, how the Holy Spirit of God, He was sent here to convict and to convince the world of sin and to reprove. But we don't ever think about it for ourselves. We think about that He come to convict and convince sinners that they're lost. And He does. But He also convicts and convinces us that have been saved by God's grace that we've done something wrong. He allows us to know and understand in our heart and our mind, is that right or is that wrong? He allows us to know that. That feeling that you get when you say or you do something wrong, or that you're out of line or out of the will of God, that feeling that comes up over you and makes you feel so small, is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you. And how you react to that is how fallow your ground is, or how fallow your heart is on the situation. If you respond to it with, "Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me," you can clean up that fallow ground and move on. If you don't, if you choose to go on, then that spot is just going to get worse. It's going to grow up. It's important that as the Spirit of the Lord works and moves in our lives, that we understand that. In this 14th chapter, I'm going to just read some of this. In the 14th chapter of the book of John, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I shall do, he also shall. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, and that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth." See, that Spirit of truth is what I'm talking about. That Spirit that separates the evil and the sin and the sorrow of this world. That Spirit of truth that points out sin. And I know for a fact from my own personal experience that the Holy Spirit of God, which is the chastening hand of God, the very same thing, the one that chastens you, the one that allows you to know something is wrong, that's the Spirit of truth that tells you right from wrong. "Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye also live." Ye live also. "And at the day ye shall know that I am the Father, and ye in me, and I in you, and that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him." See, we need the Lord to manifest Himself. We need the manifestation of the Holy Spirit upon our services. We need the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We need the Lord to manifest Himself on our lives every day. And how is it that we do that? In that 21st verse, He says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." So in response to doing what we're supposed to do, it is made clear and obvious that we love the Lord. Which in turn has an adverse effect and a shining light upon those that are lost. And it allows them to know that we love the Lord. Because the Lord reveals it. He reveals it to them. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. You can go on down and see, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and take our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. This Christ was still standing there with them. And he's telling them. They didn't have need of a comforter at that time. They didn't have need of the Holy Spirit of God to speak to them. And presently, because they had God in the flesh right in front of them, telling them this is how it is. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and shall come again. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I. Arise and let us go hence. As the Father gave Jesus commandment, so does he give us commandment. It's important for us that our relationship with the Lord is where it needs to be. And the only way that it can be that way is that we are willing to make a good, I don't know how you want to put it, put yourself under a microscope, overview of your life, your whatever. On your knees in prayer, asking God to direct you, that if there's something that would hinder you, there's been times in my life that it was important to me that I had my life right with God, because I didn't want to be a hindrance to somebody that might get saved. I know there wasn't anything I could do to save somebody, but my burden for someone was so great. I love this person so much that I did not want to be a hindrance to them in any way. I wanted myself to be right before God. I wanted to be able to know what God's will was for me, that if he had a testimony for me, or if there was something I was supposed to say or to do, that I was in the will of God, that he could use me and whatever to his honor and glory. Because I did not want to be a hindrance to anybody that was lost. Do we can think about these things anymore? Lost people are going to die and go to hell eternally. The Bible talks about over in the 33rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Tells about the watchman. Most of us at all read that, heard, and know that. You know? The things that the watchman was responsible for. You know, if somebody comes with a sword, that the watchman's supposed to blow the trumpet. And if you don't blow the trumpet and warn those that are there, that the blood is going to be
on the watchman's hands. When we don't do what we're supposed to do for God, when we're not in God's will, when we're not seeking God's will, when we're just not serving God like we're supposed to, we're not being the watchman that we're supposed to, when we're not talking to the lost, telling them about Christ, we're watchmen. We're to warn them that the evil one is coming. The sword is coming. Death is coming to them. We have a responsibility to tell them about Jesus. We may not be the best at it in the world. I feel that I fail miserably at doing it. But we have a responsibility to tell them, and the Holy Spirit will be with you. Because He left us the Spirit to guide us, to comfort us, to direct us. These things are important. And they're an important part of this. Over in the book of Galatians in the 6th chapter, I'll just read verses 6 through 10, but you can read verses 1 through 10 if you'd like to later. But it says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." There's a reaping that comes about in it is wearisome sometimes. It's tiresome. But the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in doing what you know you're supposed to be doing. Be not weary in doing how the Holy Spirit directs you to do and what to do. Don't be weary in that. For you will reap in due season if you don't. I believe that Part of our lives and part of the things, you know, I believe each and every time that we do a little something from the Lord, we may not see results from it instantaneously, automatic. We may not be able to walk up to somebody and tell them about Jesus and then fall on the floor and then seek God and get saved. I have never had that experience before in my life. But I keep hammering on the rock. I keep hammering on the rock. I keep telling people about Jesus. I can't save a soul, but I can sure tell them about the one that saved my soul. You can't be weary in well-doing. You can't be weary in doing how the Lord directs your heart and your mind. As we go through these efforts, as we go and visit our sister churches and their efforts, we have to be just as vigilant and just as godly minded that when we go into there, that we might not be a hindrance to their service, but that we might be a help, that we might go in and serve God, lift His name. It should be the way our lives is. Not just in a church service. It should be a way our lives is. You know, over in the first chapter, or second or third chapter of the book of Revelations, Jesus was speaking of the church and to that one that lost its first love. You know? And there's example after example. I've read through the book of Malachi and it goes through all these sins. You got the sin of omission and so many different things that is brought about from Israel in the Old Testament. And as Brother Terry was teaching today, I was thinking about how all the things that Jacob had done, whether he knew it or not, he couldn't see the end. He couldn't see what was going to happen in the outcome through all his life. But the Lord took everything because he did what he was supposed to do, and he blessed it. And he blessed his people by it. Everything that we do, the Lord will take that. He will bless it. Apostle Paul said, Paul sowed and I watered, and the Lord gave the increase. As long as we as God's people know exactly where the increase comes from and who that we have to go to make sure that we get an increase or that we see something, we have our hearts right before Him. That we have prayed and we have sought the Lord and He's directed our hearts, and we know. And I'm talking about an honest heart before God. I'm not talking about just going through the motions and saying something and hoping that the Lord will bless it. I'm talking about having an honest heart before God and calling out upon Him, getting an answer and knowing God's will. Spoke of so many times, a long time ago, when it was time for revival, it didn't make any difference what was going on. It was shut down. Farm work was shut down. They didn't do any farming. They didn't plow the fields, or they didn't do any harvest. They had revival. I find it important for myself that when it comes time for revival, that I'm on vacation, because I don't want the things of the world to get mixed up in my mind, in my head, and distract me from doing what God would want me to do. That's just me. The Lord blesses our efforts when we try to do what He would have us to do. That's my message today. I just wanted to present this as we, like I said, we're coming next Sunday into the Lord's Supper. You know, have our hearts and our minds right before Him, that we can commemorate the Lord in His death, that we can do these things in remembrance with a heart pure before God, and take that right on into to our effort meeting. I hope it's been uplifting more than beat down, but I hope it has, because I just want to see everybody blessed. I want to see souls saved. And I know that's the formula. That's the formula for it. That's the formula that the Lord gives for blessings. So I bless y'all all, as my thought would be a word or a thought in anyone's heart this morning. Appreciate your testimony. Been requested that we open doors to church. I guess stipulations is, Bible says that those people that are members of the church are lively stones. Here at Faith Missionary Baptist Church, we believe in a testimony of grace where the Lord has saved your soul. Time of repentance and faith in the Lord and Savior, and that you can tell us of an experience. If you're coming from a sister church of like faith and order, then we would simply ask for a letter from the church that you're in good standing with your church. Brother Burke, if we can have a song this morning.
It's turned about 151.
Like to unite this church, please, no. Please just come forward to this one.
First and last verse. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow.
Be another thought or word on anyone's heart this morning.
Brother Arthur, I've been sitting here watching Joyce's granddaughter, and I thought, I know she wishes that her mom was here. And the same thing happened with me. My mom brought my babies here. Because I wouldn't.
Pray for this young mother. She's got a lot of important choices and decisions to make as this child grows up. And she needs the Lord's help. All very young do as they grow up. wear on someone else's heart.
Brother Reagan, that same story. I remember Grandma calling the house and going, I'm coming to get the kids on Sunday to take them to church. And I said, oh, no, you're not. I'll take them to church. They've been coming ever since. There's a lot of kids associated with this church that are coming the age where marriage will take place and grandbabies will be born. And I know there's a lot that's already done that. And a lot of them I don't know. And a lot of them I do. And they hit home, Michelle. We need to be praying. That we'll get this church where it needs to be, where the Lord can use all of us.
Amen.
And so then when it's time to say that to our children, they will know it. Just like these wonderful women did.
Amen. Sometimes someone else's heart. Certainly enjoyed the testimonies. Thankful for the Lord's presence today. All hearts and minds free, standing will be dismissed.
In the business meeting, we canceled services. Canceled services. June and July to go visit revivals. Well, no, I don't think there will be tonight. I believe there was one going to be at Rayon City. There's two. There's one at I can't remember.
Chestnut Mound.
One at Chestnut Mound and
one at Carthage.
That's Chestnut Mound's in Carthage too, I think. And North Carthage. Yeah, North Carthage. Chestnut Mound. And the Rayon City is on the calendar, but I don't believe it starts until Wednesday night. It's got on there, the date's on it, 6th through the 10th. So I believe it's going to start on Wednesday night instead of tonight, according to what the calendar said. So, anything else on anyone's heart? Chad, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer? Amen.